And tonight, Father, give us liberty, freedom. Lord, I send this out to all of those that are listening, even though that it's dreary outside. And Lord, as things have happened on the media, things that are out of our control, but they're not out of your control. You're still in the control of everything, Father. And so, Lord, where many think all hope is lost, don't lose hope. Father, we hold on to you in every situation until there's nothing left to hold on to. Father, we keep holding. And so, Father, tonight, we know, God, that there's no one more powerful. Lord, I thank God as I pray for the unity of this nation and all the things that are trying to come about to us these days. Lord, I lift them up. And Father, I thank you for this great privilege to speak in the Word of God tonight. Lord, give us the inspired Holy Spirit tonight with your infallible Word, God, that we take it, Lord, and break it unto the sheepfold tonight. Thank you for the many listeners that tune us in on Facebook for our People's Valley family. Lord, as we're able through modern technology today to minister, Father, we're so thankful for this ability. And for those, Lord, that are tuning us in, Lord, those that are over in Europe, those throughout the states as well. And Father, I just want to thank you for this great honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, without any further delay tonight, let's have a little time of worship. And then we're going to get right into rescued by the grace of God in the book of Exodus. Amen. We're going to be looking at the persecution of God's people, a new generation, and a new king. The Bible tells us all of this. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. Amen. Take your Bibles over into the book of Exodus. Amen. I thank God as we take that wonderful word of God. And Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Amen. I thank God as we begin to look at what the Lord has in store for us tonight. Each and every one of us have been at bondage at some point or time in our life. Amen. And I thank God the bondage of Israel in Egypt had been predicted in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. And 13 through 16, the fourth generation will be equal to 400 years, amen, since Abraham was 100 years old and when Isaac was born. I thank God, of course, a generation would be fewer years today. But Isaac, as he was born, God also fulfilled the promise of multiplying the people in Genesis chapter 46, verse 3. And Jacob's original 70 became over a million. They increased in spite of the persecution and the suffering. And we have read about this in the New Testament in the book of Acts chapter 7, verses 15 through 17. Acts chapter 7, verse 18 says that there was another king of a different kind. This new king was from a different people. History tells us that it was about this time of the Kaikos. Invaders took over in Egypt, and they were Semites, probably from Assyria, according to Isaiah 52:4. The new king warned his own people, not the Egyptians, that the presence of so many Jews was a threat to their own rule. So they decided to deal vigorously with the children of Israel. And since Joseph had been the savior of Egypt, it's unlikely that the Egyptian king would not know him. But this new king was an outsider. And of course, the bondage in Egypt is a picture of a sinner's spiritual bondage in this world. The Jews went down to Egypt and lived in the best of the land, according to Genesis 47, 6. But this luxury after turned into trial and suffering. How like the path of the lost sinner today. Sin promises pleasure and freedom, but it brings sorrow and bondage. And so I think each and every one of us, as we look at rescued by the grace of God, let's get into the word as it says, now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob in Exodus 1:1. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. In verse 6, and Joseph died, and all of his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Boy, I tell you, life looked bleak for the children of Israel. And during the lifetime of Joseph, we begin to realize that they had enjoyed their freedom, their leadership, and they were subject to the rule of a new Pharaoh that came on the scene. But it all of a sudden began to subject them unto bondage. And God was not going to leave his people to suffer forever. He protected and he raised a man whom he would use to lead the Israelites out of bondage. Amen. Now, I thank God as we look at this, we are filled with illustrations of great doctrines of faith which are set forth in the New Testament. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so I thank God because of this this truly of the Word of God, the events of Exodus, it covers a period of about 145 years. Exodus is the account that began in Genesis, although there had been a lapse of 3.5 centuries between the books. The word Exodus means the way out. And I thank God it's about Israel's departure from Egypt after 430 years of residency into bondage. They arrived in Egypt in the first place when Joseph was sold as a slave in Egypt, amen, and eventually became Pharaoh's prime minister. Joseph was used by God to deliver the nation through a famine, and Joseph brought the family to Egypt to care for them. One of the key players in Exodus is Moses. His name pops up around 720 times. Moses' life had 3 main periods, amen, 40 years in Pharaoh's palace, 40 years in the desert of Midian. It was here that the Lord gave Moses a bachelor's degree, amen, in what the backside of the desert degree is all about, amen. 40 years in the wilderness leading the nation of Israel, amen. Boy, I tell you, I thank God D.L. Moody said that Moses, amen, spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, and 40 years learning that he was a nobody, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. Amen, that's me. I've always been a nobody. But I thank God as we look and realize the many, many symbolic pictures or types that are in the book of Exodus. Moses was a type of Jesus who delivered us from bondage. Egypt was a type of the world and a picture of our condition without God. Amen. Pharaoh was a type of Satan, and he defied the Lord and was an enemy of God's people. And Israel in Egypt, a type of man enslaved by sin. And was an enemy of God's people. Israel in Egypt was basically a need for a redeemer, amen. The Passover night, it was a picture of the security of a believer beneath the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise God. Boy, I tell you, it is a book about redemption, amen. The bondage to redemption. And I thank God, every one of us, as we look at the foundation of redemption that is seen in this book, amen. It's reviewed in the book of Hosea as Hosea redeems his wife, amen. And the fact that our redemption is evidenced in the Gospel of John, it's the force of redemption, praise God. Boy, redemption is in the book of Romans, amen. The future of our redemption is placed on a table for us to see in the book of Revelation, praise God. And redemption is the theme that flows throughout the chapters of Exodus, amen. And so I thank God as we get into rescued by the grace of God in just a few minutes, amen. But I thank God each and every one of us, as we realize that Exodus, as it took place, we look over into the Old Testament. That gives us a clue about it in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel will come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month that he began to build the house of the Lord. The temple was built 480 years after the Exodus. And the temple was built around 966 B.C., putting the Exodus at 1445 B.C., and the ruler at this time was believed to be, if I could say his name, Amenhotep the second. And so the suffering that we see from this book, amen, and the many things. But I thank God as we begin to look at this right now and begin to realize the tremendous blessing, because we got to understand the attitude of the culture that is out there today, amen, that we're in. And begin to look at that and realize that this culture of this world in which the children of Israel were in, it was in bondage. We're out there today in a world that has bondage to the idols that are of the new modern era today. The harmfulness of the ungodly culture that it can have on our Christian kids today that embrace the godly perspective of God desires for the Christians to have. And so I thank God it is about the protection that God will demonstrate in our lives, even through these difficult days that we're looking at with all of the things in the country, with the Biden, the President Trump thing, all of the things that we see with the pandemic, the COVID-19. We begin to look and we realize one of the first things is we see a hateful culture today. Well, a hateful culture, just like in the days of Exodus, amen, we begin to see some things that begin to change and take place. Throughout God's word, we see the power of God that is able to deliver out of bondage, amen. Not only does the New Testament tell us about Jesus breaking Satan's power on the cross and delivering us from the bondage of sin, amen, but through the story of the Israelites in the Old Testament, we see a physical picture of how God delivers, amen. I thank God as we look at the message, we find that God not only has the power to deliver every one of us as his people out of the areas of bondage, but he delights in doing so tonight, church. And I tell you, but at the time that this was written, long before the great nations of Babylon and Persia rose to the world dominance in that time, Egypt was the prevailing world and superpower of that time, and God performing an amazing story of deliverance for his chosen people, praise God. I tell you, years later, Joshua reminded them of God's deliverance through this great Exodus. That was an encouragement when they faced new battles. Each and every one of us are going to face new battles as men and women of God every day. But I thank God Joshua said, for the Lord our God, he is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. Amen. I'm glad that he brought me up out of the bondage of a hateful culture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I thank God he goes on. He says, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein he went among all the people through whom we passed. You know, the book of Exodus, it's the second of the five books called the Pentateuch. And Egypt was a dominant superpower. But I thank God Exodus begins its history around, as we say, this time frame of the summer of Joseph and the rest of the Israelite tribes coming to Egypt when Joseph was a ruler under Pharaoh. And later, the birth of Moses is recorded, which took place around 1525 B.C. And then the Israelites, the actual exodus out of Israel was around 1445 B.C. Joseph, the son of Jacob, had been in the midst of the Egyptians by a divine appointment. God always has a divine appointment. Boy, I thank God, 20-something years ago, God, by a divine appointment, put me at People's Valley Baptist Church, amen. He saw something that I never saw. He knew something that I didn't, that those folks would call me to be a shepherd, an under-shepherd, amen. That is, a servant to the flock. And so I thank God, every one of us. Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was cast into prison. That was a part of God's plan. And while he was there, the Lord raised him up to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. And the dream was of a coming famine. And when Joseph interpreted that dream, amen, he was highly esteemed by Pharaoh. He was placed into a position of prominence according to God's thing. And God blessed Joseph and gave him favor with Pharaoh, so that Joseph, I tell you, and his family were given land. And the father and the brothers were invited to come into Egypt. Amen. I thank God, over the years, the families of the children of Israel, they grew large. And all of a sudden, God continued to bless them. But I tell you, as we read in verse 7, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And so we see a hateful culture. Even though the children of Israel were in bondage, they were growing in number and becoming fruitful. Suddenly, the spirit of the culture toward them, it began to change. The spirit of the culture has changed in America today toward Christianity like I've never seen it. While they have been tolerated as working slaves, they were now becoming an intimidating force by sheer number of their population. Unfamiliar with Joseph throughout the years of Egypt's early history, there were many different dynasties, and it was during the 17th dynasty, the Hyksos dynasty, that Joseph first came into Egypt, and it was during this time that Joseph was elevated and appreciated. But in the 18th dynasty, that new king did not know Joseph. And he began to rule in an evil manner. Now I tell you, that this Pharaoh was unfamiliar with how Joseph had been brought to Egypt by God's sovereignty, and was apparently unaware of how that he had saved the entire nation from starvation through his wisdom, amen. In verses 8 through 10, our text tells us that the new king was suspicious of the children of Israel, and he viewed them as a potential trouble. Throughout the history of Christendom, Christians have been also viewed as trouble at times. And in the book of Acts, Paul was referred to as the pestilent fellow, the troublemaker of the Jews. And many times when people are faithful to the Lord, the culture at large will see them as a problem. I tell you, they were unfamiliar with Joseph. God's people had already survived, multiplied, such as a picture that we see here with the children of Israel. They were growing stronger in the midst of their captivity. But I tell you, unfamiliar with Joseph, they was also unfamiliar with Jehovah God Almighty. The Pharaoh at that time was an idolater, serving many false gods. In fact, the whole reason that the many of the sins and difficulties that existed in Egypt were simply because the king and his people knew not the Lord. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Our nation today is a land that is often unfamiliar with Jehovah God. Our leaders are removing the Ten Commandments from public places, disallowing prayer in public schools, seeking to remove remembrance of God from every arena that they can. Spiritually speaking, we live in an Egypt today surrounded by a culture that does not know Jehovah God Almighty. Because of that, our opportunity is great to declare God's glory in this pagan culture that has come into in the United States of America. This culture was based on the Bible. But today, people want to disband that. There are things that are changing in politics that are so much more aggressive than they've ever been in the past, that they want to destroy the democracy of this United States of America. Never forget, in your seasons of bondage, that God is using you to declare his glory in a pagan country today. So they were unfamiliar with Joseph, unfamiliar with Jehovah God Almighty, and it was unfair with the people. The king was not only unfamiliar with Jehovah, but he was also unfair with the children of Israel as well. And so I thank God, as we look and we begin to realize some of the things that were taking place, amen. And that is, he tells us in verses 9 and 10 that we read, and he said unto his people, behold, the people, the children of Israel, are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up and out of the land. Pharaoh, leading in this reactionary manner, rather than in a direction, he was paranoid for the children of Israel. And so Israel had to find refuge, and they had refuge under the previous pharaohs. But this pharaoh was guided by his fears about the Israelites. And I tell you, previous pharaohs accepted and welcomed the children of Israel, even encouraging leadership among them. But this pharaoh, motivated by fear, because he became mean, he became intolerant toward the children of Israel, amen. And so it's sad that we see things like this today. God is always working, even though we may not be able to see his plan unfolding in America today. God makes no mistakes, hallelujah, and he wastes no trials that we're going through. He'll never allow, he never allows trials into our lives without a purpose, and always seeks our purification through that trial, amen. Well, I thank God every one of us will be refined through those things as well. And so I thank God through the children of Israel, they didn't understand why they were suffering affliction and persecution. God was allowing them to go through a time of affliction and difficulty. We don't understand in America why everything is happening today. But you know what? This has slowly been building up. There's plans that have been under on the sides of the enemy and the demons from hell in the districts throughout this country. There are demons of hell that are over these people in certain places. And I'm going to tell you, as we look and realize that it's sad, the 88 strings on a concert piano exert over 45,000 pounds of pressure on its frame, and it's over 22 tons of pressure. This pressure is needful for that beautiful music. However, that piano can produce when it does it. But the pressure in our lives can be the very thing that God uses to bring about the beauty and the purpose of the coming days in the United States of America. Right now, the church is still here. But when the church is raptured out and gone, this place is going to be a horrible place. It's going to be a place even more unrecognizable. But right now, fret not, folks, because the church is still here. You say, why? Because I'm still here. Amen. And you say, boy, that's really, hey, I'm going to tell you, I know that I know. And I'm in the family of God. Amen. But we see this hateful culture that's out there today in America, as we did in the times of the book of Exodus. Secondly, we see a harmful culture as well. When you feel like you can't live for God in the midst of this culture, remember how God worked in the lives of the Hebrew children, amen. Sometimes there's cultures that are out there today, amen, that are hateful to the things of God, that can become very harmful to the people of God and will take their animosity out on the people of the Lord. But Pharaoh realized that his plan to destroy the current generation of the Israelites by hard labor, it wasn't working. Everything he did, they flourished. Whatever the enemy does to us, we're going to flourish and just shake it off. Amen. Boy, I thank God. The hateful plot. Pharaoh gave an evil order to the Hebrew midwives who cared for the many Hebrew women as they gave birth. He commanded all the midwives to murder children just as they were coming out of their mother's wombs. And it talks about this in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And with all of this wicked decree, Pharaoh makes a decision that goes completely contrary to the heart of God for protecting life. Today, we've got people out there today that they don't care anything about life. They don't care about the family. You know, I wonder if they really care about the family and they care about insurance, why do they kill the babies? That's what I don't understand. If they really care about your insurance, if they really care about your quality of life, why would they harm and abort babies today? That is the most innocent thing of life that is harmless. It is a part of God. And I tell you, when God speaks in the Bible of Jesus in his mother's womb, the Bible speaks about the holy child. And in the Bible, God begins to recognize life at conception. And because of that, Christians have always placed much of the value on the life of the most innocent. And all life is created by God, amen. And we are created in the image of God, amen. And a society that knows the Lord, that values life today, praise God. I tell you, but a society like Pharaoh's, who knew not the Lord, that did not value life. And in fact, Pharaoh became so power hungry, listen, that he ordered the murder of these children. How sad that today in America, we've come to the place where even in the very last weeks of pregnancy, mothers will choose to murder their babies. Listen, let me give you some stats. 19% of pregnancies in the United States end in abortion. 879,000 babies are murdered each year through abortion. That's approximately 2,400 daily. Boy, over 61 million babies, listen, have been aborted since the Roe versus Wade ruling in 1973. 58% of America believes abortion should be legal. Great places, great value on the life of the unborn baby. Listen. God places great value on the life of the unborn. But as a leader of a culture that didn't know God, Pharaoh plotted to destroy the future generation through the murder of babies. Now listen, do you want a leader that wants to kill babies? Huh? You gonna listen to him? Boy, what a hateful plot there in the book of Exodus that's dealing with redemption. But there's a higher perspective. God always has a higher perspective on our lives. We normally don't understand everything that's going on in our lives at any given moment. But we need the higher perspective, amen. And I thank God on up ahead in chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, but the midwives feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded him. But he saved the men's children alive. The midwives feared God. These midwives had seen thousands of babies born. They watched their eyes open for the very first time. Praise God, what a sight. Hallelujah, I love family. Hallelujah for the kids in our churches today, praise God. They watched their eyes open for the first time, heard the first cry of life, seen the little fingers as they move, and because of that, there was something in their heart that could never deny the existence of God, amen. It didn't matter what the king said. They feared God more than the king, praise God. Boy, I tell you, there's some people out there today that don't fear the king. I tell you, they don't fear God. But boy, I tell you, they want to do whatever because they think they're the ones that are in charge. Pharaoh was literally the most powerful man in the world. And the midwives could have been afraid of this ruler who could have had them executed at any moment. But despite this, they bravely chose to follow God. That's some people we need today. In this harmful culture that we're looking at today in front of us, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Well, I thank God the fear of the Lord changes our hearts. It changes our actions, amen. Because it's something that with God, amen, it causes us to live for him above all else. And we must instill this in our children, the knowledge of how awesome and how worthy of the reverence of a almighty God is. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of a holy is understanding. Boy, I thank God every one of us as we look today and realize how special that it is to be in the family of God. This is why the midwives obeyed God rather than the king. They knew who God was and chose to live for him regardless of their own safety. And so I thank God. God did not forsake these faithful women after their courageous actions. Rather, he brought great joy into their lives by giving them families, by giving them children into their lives. And I thank God the phrase that he made them houses seemed to indicate that God gave these women families. They gave them children of their own. And he honored them for their obedience to him. And so we see a hateful culture in America today. We see a harmful culture, but lastly, we see a helpful hand. Even in the midst of bondage, in the midst of hate, God will always make a way of escape. This situation, the midwives, took place decades before God would later show his miraculous power in the plagues and in the Exodus, in the delivery of the children of Israel through Moses. Hallelujah. Well, I thank God each and every one of us as we look and realize how often, long before God delivers, he prepares a deliverer. And in this case, he was preparing a man named Moses who some 80 years later would deliver God's people. In this instant, God's plan to preserve the people was not a miraculous sign, but the use of ordinary people who chose to follow him. Now notice, it was a parental protection, a helpful hand by a parental protection. Now notice, I'm going to tell you, there's a fine line there that I'll talk. Listen, I won't make out somebody to be a savior, but I tell you, God chooses the leaders of this land, amen. And sometimes, even the ones that are the wrong ones, God can change them. Now, I thank God. You know what? We saw some miraculous things these last 4 years. A lot of things that have happened and that have taken place. I don't know about the future as far as the next 4 years because I've only got today. And then tomorrow, I've only got tomorrow. We live it a day at a time. But when Pharaoh's plan to have the midwives kill babies' boys didn't work, he told parents that they were responsible to cast their sons into the river. And in that midst of this time, we begin to realize that there was a Hebrew couple that gave birth to a baby boy by the name of Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, that it tells us the story about this, amen. Now, thank God as we realize that that little baby had a sister that stood afar off and that watched out for that baby. When Moses' family probably had no idea how they could protect Moses, the most powerful man in the world had just commanded that his entire country to hunt out every Israelite baby. But their faith in God was so greater than the fear of the circumstances, amen. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Somehow, God gave grace and he gave strength to Moses' mother, Jochebed, and could make a tiny ark to hold her baby and then to take him to the Nile River. And the Nile was known for its crocodiles. And I'm going to tell you, of course, rivers in general aren't safe places for three-month-old babies. But Moses' mother took an ark of the bulrushes, which was, many scholars believe, a papyrus, a waterproofed it, put her baby inside, trusted God to protect him. And I thank God, the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My buckler, hallelujah, and the horn of my salvation and my high power. I thank God there was a parental protection through the helpful hand of a mighty God. And there was a providential protection as well. Because the incredible providence of God as Moses was found during this exact time that Pharaoh's daughter was at the river. Boy, can't God make a plan? Wow. Boy, can't he bring it together? He will for America as well. Boy, I thank God. The Bible says, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Moses was not only found, but he was found by someone with a position to be able to keep him and the heart to care for him. God even arranged for Moses' own mother to take care of Moses for him as long as she could. That meant that she was able to teach Moses about the one true and mighty God, amen, from a very early age. And afterward, Moses was trained in Pharaoh's court, giving him the skills to later lead the people out of Egypt. Only God could guide. Only God could direct like this. Only God could take such a terrible cultural situation and bring forth something, someone mighty from it. God can do it. I thank God what man could never do. And this is why we should trust him with a helpful hand. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. Praise God. Boy, I thank God as we come to a close, life brings periods of time when you may feel as though everything is out of your control. And you don't know what to do. Everything may seem cloudy. And you feel like you've got no control and no ability to see what is happening. But God is still working. And we can trust him. And even when the laws are contrary to the word of God. And even when the leaders don't know the Lord. You can still take your stand. You can still fear the Lord, and you can still know that there's a helping hand reaching out to you, amen. Boy, I thank God, but I'm poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me, and thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying of my God. I thank God, if there is an area of your life in which you need to see God's deliverance, if there's a loved one for whom you're praying to see them cry out to God, amen, for deliverance, I'll tell you, I want you to say that name right now, amen. Say that name out loud where you're at on Facebook right now, that God would be able to deliver them, amen. Well, I thank God every one of us, as we look at the oppression that was in Egypt, this was not a description of a life without Christ. Sin breaks us into pieces. It has a cruel, crushing effect on our lives. The sweetness of sin soon sours, and a bitter taste as it becomes enslaved in addictions. And true, sin does bring pleasure for just a season, but that season is mighty short. And after it's over, bitterness sets in for a very long and permanent basis unless one comes to Christ for cleansing from sin. Listen, we first make our own habits, and then our habits make us. Sinners often think that godly people lack freedom to do as they please because the godly do not indulge in all the evil habits of this world. But as the sinner, but I tell you, it's not godly that lacks freedom. Listen, the Egyptians burdened God's people with the harshness and the cruelty, and sin does the same thing, robbing us of joy and draining every bit of our strength away. Father, thank you for this message. We send blessings.